News and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. The end of a quest may be near for President-elect Trump's embattled choice to head up the Defense Department. Multiple sources tell CBS News Mr. Trump may replace Pete Hegseth with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Correspondent Ed O'Keefe says the two men would be setting differences aside.
Trump and DeSantis are bitter political rivals. They faced off in the 2024 Republican primaries, and the president-elect's incoming chief of staff, Susie Wiles, is a former political advisor to DeSantis. The two of them parted ways under bad circumstances, and Wiles went on to work for Trump and defeat her former client.
The final congressional race of the 2024 election cycle has finally been decided, and it goes to the Democrat in California's Central Valley. Adam Gray has ousted incumbent Republican John Duarte by the closest margin in the country, just 187 votes. It means the GOP will retain a thin majority in the House next year. The Supreme Court hears arguments today on Tennessee's ban on puberty blockers and hormone treatments for trans children under the age of 18. Sam Law is with the Human Rights Campaign.
These healthcare bans discriminate against trans youth by denying access to the very same safe and effective medications prescribed to people who are not trans to treat, you know, a range of health issues.
Round two is on the way for Northeasterners still digging out from a huge storm that dumped up to 6 feet of snow this week. CBS meteorologist Lonnie Quinn.
There is more lake effect snow expected, but it is nothing like what the Great Lakes communities just finished dealing with. No one's picking up 5.5 feet of snow out of this system.
Search crews near Pittsburgh are hoping against hope they'll be able to rescue a grandmother who disappeared Monday night when she went out to find her dog. Police believe she fell into a sinkhole. CBS News Pittsburgh's Lauren Linder.
First responders found what appeared to be a shoe underground, but they have yet to hear any noise or signs of life. They say there is still reason to be optimistic.
When it comes to pronunciations,
Kamala Harris gets in. And by the way, there are numerous ways of saying her name.
President-elect Trump got it wrong, and so did a lot of other people. According to the language learning company Babbel, Kamala is among the year's most mispronounced. So is the name of a certain pop star.
Chapel, not Chapel. Chapel, Rome.
S&P futures are up 15, Dow futures ahead 207. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Bucks basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Short turnaround. The Bucks host the Atlanta Hawks tonight. The Bucks coming off a 127-107 win over the Pistons last night in Detroit. Head coach Doc Rivers on their seventh win in a row.
The more we attack the paint, the more open shots we're going to get. Detroit is a help basketball team like every team is. And our guys just found the open man.
College Hoops, number 5th ranked Marquette is at Iowa State tonight. On Saturday, they'll host Wisconsin. The Badgers losing to Michigan, 67-64. Their first loss of the season. Head coach Greg Gard.
Credit to Michigan. They banked on us not being able to bang in some threes and did a good job of gumming up the paint and made it hard in terms of that regard. And we're able to get enough offense going to get past us.
NFL, the Packers' Matt LaFleur asked if Jair Alexander will be able to play Thursday night against the Lions despite his knee injury.
We'll see. I mean, I have no idea. I'm not a doctor.
That's Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. When I saw Wicked last weekend at my local theater, I was surprised the crowd wasn't more into it. On the other hand, some theaters are taking issue with moviegoers singing along. Stars Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande weighed in, saying audiences should do whatever they feel. Moana's 2, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, also says it's okay to sing along. So to those who heckled me last weekend in the middle of my performance during the film, I say take that. And seriously, clapping is good, but let's leave the singing to the professionals. If you're a fan of Yellowstone, there's a pretty good bet one of your favorite characters characters has been killed off in recent episodes. I will hold off on the most recent killings for spoiler purposes, but the killing spree started with Kevin Costner's character John Dutton, who was found dead in the first episode of the second half of season 5. If you're a fan of the show, you better start watching while there's still a cast. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Cloudy and windy today with light snow developing this afternoon. Temperatures are going to drop as well. We'll go from the 30s around midday into the low 20s by late this afternoon. Tonight, clear and cold, 13 with a wind chill below zero. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high of 28. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 22.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as our old friend Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio and Trigby Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, join us. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, December 4th, 2024. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or on the Civic Media app, or by podcast, or watching us on social media. It's a beautiful day now. It's going to get a little less beautiful really soon. Brittany Merlot will have full details on the forecast coming up in an hour, but the short version is that a powerful cold front is going to be coming through this afternoon into this evening, depending on where you are in the state. And so temperatures are a smidge warmer than where they were 24 hours ago. But starting around noon from west to east, temperatures are going to drop like a rock and the wind is going to pick up and there's going to be some light snow. You know, it won't be anything, you know, like a, you know, over an inch, but it's the way the wind is going to whip it and the temperatures are going to plummet that you're going to want to make sure to dress for later, not for now. It's 29 here in Chippewa Falls, 26 in Hayward, 26 in Wausau. La Crosse is at 30, Amory at 29, Wisconsin Rapids 26, Green Bay at 28, Madison 25, Waukesha at 21, and it's 27 degrees in Radio Park where Mr. Greg Bach is standing by, also ready for whatever the tundra can throw at him later today, more like this evening by the time it gets down to his neck of the woods, but it's going to be winter regardless. Like it or not, buddy, here it comes.
Yeah, I mean, last year we had a pretty mild winter. It was pretty, I don't want to say nice because it means, you know, the earth is on fire. But I'm ready for it. I've got all my jackets prepared and got multiple sets of boots ready for any sort of snow. And, oh, boy, and according to Tony...
Tony's writing on YouTube, Ironwood is getting a ton of snow. Yes, I should modify my remarks slightly, that most places will see about maybe a quarter inch, half inch, up to close to an inch of snow. But there's going to be this lake effect snow in places like Ironwood that's going to be loaded with snow later on. But they know that when they live. It's kind of like living in Buffalo. You just know.
I always say the same thing every year in, when it comes to at least Wisconsin. I can't speak for any other state. But when we start to hit these, you know, these weeks and months of the cold and the winter and the bluster and the snow, I go, hey, man, you hit yes on the terms and conditions apply. So I know we don't like it, but don't complain about it like you're like, what is this?
Yes. Well, and Tony raises an interesting point in a follow-up comment. He says, I don't know why you wouldn't move 30 minutes west to Ashland where you have protection from the bay. We get way less here. Yeah. And as I know from my one trip through Buffalo, visiting Niagara Falls, that it's a pretty well-defined area when you see everything, you know, the Buffalo Bills Stadium happens to be in that area. but you can be not too far north or south, and you almost never get dumped on in that way, to which you want to go knock on all the doors of all those folks and go, you know, you can move, right? I mean, it's, you have, it may take some price, but you can do it, you know? But like you said, if you want to be there, the terms and conditions do apply.
Yes, they do.
There's just no other way to put it. So anyway, so the temperatures that we've got right now, definitely take 10 to 15 degrees off them as they fall throughout the course of the afternoon, and the wind really picks up. Coming up on the program today, in this first hour, we will talk to Melissa Baldoff, as we do every Wednesday morning around 6:30 for our weekly climate check. And we'll talk a bit about the political quandary that Republicans are facing in Washington when it comes to climate, because President Biden's Inflation Reduction Act is doing a lot that's geared toward the changing climate, mitigating some of the problems that it causes, doing things so that we contribute less to the problem. It creates jobs along the way, all of these many projects. And so when some of these Republicans echo Donald Trump in saying, we want to undo everything that Biden has done, well, maybe not everything, you know, depending on where they are and what kind of benefits they're already seeing from the Inflation Reduction Act. So we'll talk to Melissa more about that. In our second hour, we're going to talk to our friend Duff Martin from Eau Claire. He is a social studies teacher in Eau Claire, but he's also been a leader in teachers unions at the state and national level. He's on the National Executive Committee for the National Education Association, the NEA. We'll get his reaction to a judge overturning Act 10, 13 years after Scott Walker's attempt to destroy the teachers unions. By the way, the teachers unions don't have nearly the influence that they used to in terms of contract negotiations. But if Scott Walker and Republicans were looking to kill teachers unions, that didn't happen. There was another recent round of elections in school districts across Wisconsin. Teachers unions are as healthy as ever because people, when they have a chance to negotiate as a group rather than individually, will typically choose that, especially when they see why certain employers want to divide and conquer and pay you less and treat you worse. So we'll talk to Ron about that. And then at 7:30, our homeroom segment continues with the superintendent from the Hudson School District and a school board member there. Hudson is one of the districts, one of many, 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 that had referendums on the ballot just to keep school districts operating as is, not to do anything new, but basically to keep up with inflation, since the Republican-led legislature hasn't been doing its part. But Hudson's one of the districts where voters said no. So now there's this fork in the road. Do you say, well, this is what the voters want, and you go ahead and you make some painful cuts to education? Or do you say, you know, let's come back in April, let's you know, reconfigure what we're asking for, or let's better communicate what we're asking for and try to avoid those painful cuts if the voters, you know, might be more agreeable in April? Which way are they going to go in Hudson? We'll talk to Nick Ouellette and Megan Rosowski in Hudson about that a little bit later on. As mentioned, we will get Brittany Merlot's forecast as well for a day that's going to be windy, snowy, and much, much colder. I think I want to start, though, in acknowledging that there have been some layoffs at some TV stations in Wisconsin, and I don't know the extent of them. I know that it's been apparent in Eau Claire, La Crosse, and I guess Wausau as well, from what I'm seeing online. And it's an unfortunate thing because it includes friends, former colleagues, things like that. And we haven't received any official word from these TV stations or from their parent company, Allen Media Group. But you know, we are aware that at some of these places, the economy has caught up to them. And so, for example, my friend and former colleague, Keith Edwards, who's been anchoring the 5 o'clock newscast in Eau Claire at Channel 18 for many years, was among the many who were laid off yesterday by Allen Media. Now, Allen Media is owned by a billionaire I knew him as, you know, mid-1970s comedian Byron Allen. And Greg, I don't know if in your history of, you know, comedians, you know, many comedians who later went on to become billionaires, Byron Allen's one of them. Might be one of one is that list, as far as I can tell.
I mean, well, yeah. As far as the trajectory of Byron Allen, yeah, he sort of, started in stand-up, did The Tonight Show, and then decided to own the properties. And
yes, which is very smart on his part. Yes. He's obviously been a very savvy investor.
Yeah, yeah.
But with the highs come the lows, and yep. Right now Allen Media owns 36 TV stations, ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox affiliates, 36 stations in 21 markets, 12 networks, including the Weather Channel.
He owns the Weather Channel?
Yes.
Wow.
He also, his studio also produces and distributes 73 different television shows.
Wow.
The company has about 2,300 employees. Last year, he made a bid for BET, where he was bidding more than $3 billion. But that money's got to come from somewhere. And unfortunately, sometimes at these smaller properties, like these Wisconsin TV stations, you see what happens, which is, again, just a real shame. And I just wanted to acknowledge that some good journalists, some good reporters, you may not be seeing them on your local stations, but hopefully many of them land on their feet in other places along the way. On the other hand, I also want to acknowledge the folks who have been writing in to Up North News. And I can only speak to Up North News because Sage Weil, who runs Civic Media, has not given me a key to the mailbox over there. So I don't know, Greg, what you guys
All you
got
to do is
see.
Just jimmy the door a little bit, just give it a little shake awake and just pull it open. There you go. You got your mail.
Yeah, exactly. But I will say that at Up North News, one of the first things we did was we opened up a post office box here in Chippewa Falls, P.O. Box 27. And actually, there's a good story about the reason that we did that was when we make the daily newsletter,
which you
can sign up for at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe.
Plug.
But it said because we have our parent company, Courier Newsroom, has offices in Washington, D.C. and New York, it had either a Washington, D.C. or a New York address down at the bottom.
Yeah.
And we were getting notes like, you're not really a Wisconsin outlet. I'm like, the heck we aren't.
Good
so
Lord.
I opened up a P.O. box and put that at the bottom of the newsletter, and people send all these nice notes. And so at this time of year, we do a fundraising drive every quarter because, as I've said before, we have very big financial supporters, we have very mid-range financial supporters, and we have grassroots supporters, and you need all of them for a company like ours to work.
Yeah.
And the notes that accompany these checks, and they're usually little post-it notes or just little scraps of paper, and they just say thank you for what you do and we appreciate your newsletter. We get one that's like, you know, you guys do too much politics, but, you know, here's a contribution anyway. And another says, I love your political coverage. You know, here's a little, and they're all like $25 and $50 checks. Again, my whole point being, we love the feedback. Love the feedback. Greg and I get it every day in real time, which is really nice.
Yeah.
Most of the time. We've seen some of the texts come over.
Luckily, I don't have access to the text. I can't see them come in. So when Pat tells them, I'm like, oh boy, here we go. I did get a letter to Up North News via courier to the P.O. box sent to me here. I got one right here, Pat. I got one.
Oh,
right
really?
Here. It says,
really?
It's old-timey it says, paper.
Oh, I see.
More Greg. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Hey, okay. Well, good. Here, more Greg and more sports. Well,
more
lucky
sports.
You. When we come back, we're going to talk about how the Bucks and the Badger men's basketball team did in their games last night and then move on to cover some of the other news of the day. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this beautiful Wednesday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A new choice, Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Cash Patel, who Trump has nominated to be the head of the FBI, said he wants to basically shut down the main parts of the FBI. Bill Barr, MAGA Republican Attorney General to Donald Trump. Quote, the very idea of moving Patel into a role like this showed a shocking detachment from reality. Unquote. This is not the left calling out Patel. This is the right.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy. We're talking about the Act 10 overturned by a Dane County judge.
I think it's important for everyone to know that this was the state that in 1959 first granted public employees the right to organize and bargain collectively. We have a lot to take back. You know, I used to say take back America, but I say take back Wisconsin.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all the fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
We've got a birthday in today's history lesson from a member of the Bodines based out of Waukesha, so we'll tell you more about that in today's history lesson, half hour away here on Up North News Radio. Take a quick look at sports. There were just a couple of basketball games worth talking about here. The Badger men's basketball team lost to Michigan. The 11th-ranked Badgers fell 67-64. It was the Big Ten opener for both teams. It's the first loss of the season for the Badgers, who fall to 8-1. Wisconsin's Max Klesmet missed three shots in the final 73 seconds that would have tied the game or put the Badgers ahead. Big game ahead now. The 11th-ranked Badgers take on the 5th-ranked Marquette Eagles, Golden Eagles, at the Fiserv Forum on Saturday. 12:30 is the tip-off, and you'll be able to find that game across some Civic Media radio stations. Coverage begins at 11:30 Saturday morning on WLAK in Amory, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, WRJN in Racine Kenosha, and WRCE in Richland Center. So again, Badgers Marquette Saturday. The Milwaukee Bucks are done with group play in the NBA Cup in-season tournament, and they move on to the quarterfinals. The Bucks clinched their group, winning all four of its games, including last night's win in Detroit, 128-107. Giannis had 28 points. Damian Lillard had 27. The Bucks have now won 7 straight and 9 of their last 10. So the in-season tournament will continue with a quarterfinal game, Orlando coming to Milwaukee next Tuesday. But between now and then, regular season games resume, and that includes tonight with the Bucks hosting Atlanta. And then, of course, another note about the Packers. They will be playing tomorrow night in Detroit. Pre-game starts at 5 o'clock on Civic Media stations in Racine Kenosha, Richland Center, and Park Falls. Should mention as well that the Badger women's basketball team is in action on some Civic Media stations on Sunday. You can catch that coverage starting at 1:40 on stations in Amory, Rapids, Racine Kenosha, and Richland Center. And the Badger men's hockey team will host Michigan State, on Friday and Saturday, 5:30 both evenings on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. You can also catch that and so much in terms of high school sports on the Civic Media app. So if you don't have that yet,
Get cracking. Get over to civicmedia.us and learn more about downloading that app. Forgot to extend my invitation, put the welcome mat out. The welcome mat doesn't say welcome on it. It says 855-75-CIVIC. 855-752-4842. You can call or you can text to set that number or put something in the comment sections of YouTube or Facebook, depending on where you're watching the show. If you're watching instead of listening, we always love to have the feedback from you as well. And that comes from all over. I forgot to mention, though, when we talked about the nice notes that people mail to us at Up North News, one of them had a Florida postmark on it. And it was somebody from up north who is a snowbird and spends their winters in Florida and still listens to the show down in Florida. So we appreciate very much that you're doing that. In the Up North News Daily newsletter, the aforementioned newsletter, you know, the one you signed up for on our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Greg, we're going to talk about cookies in the newsletter today. Yeah, that got his attention.
Hello.
The average American eats about 300 cookies a year, about 35,000 cookies in a lifetime. 300 cookies a year. Does that sound about right? I mean, almost a cookie a day?
Yeah, I would probably say I come in below average. We don't have cookies in the house that often. Uh-huh. But you know, if we have a pack of Oreos, you know, those are going to get destroyed. Destroyed, Pat.
About half the cookies that Americans consume each year are chocolate chip. Okay. But during the winter holiday season, lots of folks prefer, I don't know what you'd call them. Some people call them peanut butter blossoms. Some call them black-eyed Susans. Others call them, oh, those really dry peanut butter cookies with a big old Hershey's Kiss in the middle that could choke
a horse.
Who
talks about them like that?
That'd be me. But it turns out that a woman in Chippewa County has a stake on that claim about those cookies, as they were invented by her great-grandmother, who lived in Ohio back in 1957.
Okay.
On that fateful day when she ran out of chocolate chips and improvised with the kisses that she had on hand. She won third prize in a baking contest, but it is her recipe on the back of Hershey's Kisses bags to this day. And you could read more in the newsletter that we put out at upnorthnewswi.com. Tony's on your side. He writes on YouTube. Those are amazing.
I love those cookies, but I also find it very funny. But oh, it's the idea like, oh, dear, I've run out of chocolate chips. Here, have one gigantic chocolate chip. I don't like the term black-eyed Susan. That just sounds, it's never sounded good to me. I just, you know.
Yep. Tony writes, OHIO. Okay, he's representing Ohio there. So, yes, somebody did that there. Roger from Stevens Point notes that Melissa Langbin, 34 years at WAOW anchor, was laid off along with journeyman anchor Eric Mrotek. The links at those websites no longer work as well.
Geez.
So, again, just a darn shame with the layoffs that were announced. But we wish nothing but the best for them. One other... It's about a TV station in Boston. I saw this on TMZ last night, and I see it's in the Journal Sentinel this morning, about a station in Boston, WCVB, going viral for showing B-roll footage of holiday shoppers walking around town. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you've seen clips like that a million times of shoppers walking around down on the streets, and apparently they didn't realize that it included legendary actress Zendaya and her mother were walking toward the camera. And I have to admit, now, I looked at that video, and if I were at the TV station seeing that come across, it would not have struck me as, I think I know her, you know?
Like, honey, is that Zendaya? Nah,
couldn't have been. But she's in Boston filming a new movie called The Drama with Robert Pattinson.
Ooh.
And she's been spotted at other places around Boston, but apparently was just out shopping and was in some of the B-roll. And I would have loved to have, if one of the anchors had caught it and then come back and get their reaction and go, do you know who that was? and of course, if I were the coordinator, I'd be like, no, it couldn't have been. No. And then we'd re-rack the footage 10 times and see if we could figure it out or not. And we'd look absolutely foolish.
Yeah. I didn't see it. I was hoping she'd be like, she would make fun. She's very funny. She's very much like, doesn't take herself too seriously. So I would hope she'd just make like jokes or like make faces
at
the camera.
I'm sure she would. Yeah, I'm sure she would. Melissa Baldoff has our climate check. That's coming up next on Up North News Radio here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Back in a bit.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm guessing a lot of Wisconsin farmers don't like what they're seeing in the marketplace today for prices. Will it get any better next year? I'm PM Yankee, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, says that's a fair question. He's encouraging farmers to take a look at opportunities now because of the uncertainty that a new administration and a new calendar year could bring not only to our domestic markets, but the global economy.
Things for producers that really focus on, obviously the market's got right in front of us what's happening after we get inauguration and the first 100 days of the Trump presidency, the tariffs, the chatter regarding tariffs is a daily thing in the news wires right now. I do think that's keeping the market somewhat subdued here, just waiting for what the reactions are going to be to that. It's not so much the implication of the new tariffs coming on board or the additional pressure in that trade side of things. It's going to be what's going to be the reaction from other countries.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. We do have another big World Ag Supply Demand report that he says could be a driver in the marketplace. That occurs next week. Markets in overnight electronic trade on a Wednesday morning. Well, corn and beans are lower. Wheat is not. I've got details next.
Did you know you can build a water and nutrient superhighway in your soil? You just need the Maximum Acre solution from Sound Agriculture. The easiest way to maximize your crop's access to nutrients all season long. How does it work? First, Source turns your soil into a nutrient factory, activating microbes that supply nitrogen, phosphorus, and micronutrients. Then Blueprint builds the delivery network. It provides a beneficial fungi called AMF, a powerful biological partner that plants rely on for macronutrients, micronutrients, and water. When used with Source, Blueprint expands the crop's reach beyond the roots, helping it access nutrients and water when they're needed most. For the Maximum Acre solution that leads to bigger, healthier, and more productive plants, source it with Blueprint. Talk to your dealer or visit sound.ag.
On Tuesday, the barrel cheese gained 4.5 cents to 165. 40-pound block cheese up 3.25 at 167. Double A butter, 2.75 cents stronger at 252.25. Now, in overnight electronic trade, we've got March corn unchanged at 432. January soybeans are down 6.5 at 985. The March wheat is up a penny at 548. July new crop up a penny, 563. Currently, the January Class 3 milk in Chicago that goes into cheese up 20 cents at 1884 a hundredweight. So a simple snapshot on where the numbers stand going into a Wednesday trade session. I'm PM Yankee.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Cloudy and windy today with light snow developing this afternoon. Temperatures are going to drop as well. We'll go from the 30s around midday into the low 20s by late this afternoon. Tonight, clear and cold, 13 with a wind chill below zero. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high of 28. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 22.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it.
All right. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, we'll catch up with fan favorite Matt Rothschild. We'll talk about Act 10, who should be the new DNC chair, and also, who wants to cut Social Security? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. It's
electric! Up North News Radio continues for this Wednesday morning, as always, with Melissa Baldoff and our weekly climate check. Melissa, how are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. Our theme today is budget cuts for thee, but not for me. It's a dilemma that congressional Republicans have on their hands because President Biden's Inflation Reduction Act is creating a whole new generation of jobs nationwide without regard to who supported him. And a lot of red states are seeing big benefits. And so when President-elect Trump talks about undoing Biden's investments, Melissa, these Republican lawmakers are finding themselves in a bit of a pickle, and I, for one, am here for it.
You know, I am. I know we're family-friendly here, but there is the FAFO acronym, and, you know, they've fooled around, and they're going to find out that, you know, if they do certain things, it's not going to be popular. So, you know, we know that we'll see some bad things happen, which is very unfortunate. But we also know that, you know, some of the things that, you know, they've promised, threatened, you know, however you want to describe it, you know, probably won't happen because, you know, these people that are in charge, you know, starting with Donald Trump and then, you know, trickling down to the loyalists he's put in charge, these people are inept, they're incompetent, they're corrupt, they're sloppy, and, you know, they're not going to be able to make good on a lot of what they've said they're going to do, whether it's because they don't know how to do it or because they will cave to pressure on some of the changes that they want to make. So I do think that, you know, they're not going to make good on all of those promises.
Well, they can't, because here's the deal. As noted in a New York Times article, roughly 80% of the new clean energy manufacturing investments announced since the Inflation Reduction Act passed in 2022, 80% of the investments have flowed to Republican congressional districts. That there are just so many projects and so many job opportunities here that when President-elect Trump talks about clawing back some of the money in the law, he clearly did not have a globe where he could have seen where the benefits are going. I don't know which is more likely. Do they try to carve out exemptions for just these Republican districts, or do they face real pushback by Republicans in Congress? I got to think it's going to be the latter.
Yeah, I think it's the latter, and not just Republicans in Congress, but I think, you know, Republicans in, you know, Republican governors, Republican state House members in these states are going to be really unhappy. You know, they know that these investments have really helped the local economies in their states. And, you know, what I mean is Donald Trump, you know, some of this money really can't be clawed back. I mean, what's he going to do? You know, is he going to go knock down factory? Is he gonna, you know, go, you know, remove solar panels and try to sell them off? I mean, some of this money has already been spent. Actually, quite a bit of the money has already been spent, or it's in the process of being spent. And if you are asking a community, you're asking contractors, you're asking workers to abandon a job, you know, that's just not going to go over well. And again, I think that really underscores how unserious and incompetent these people are, that they think they can just, you know, abandon this progress.
So folks who missed it yesterday, when we had our discussion with Hans Breitenmoser, and we talked about a farm bill, and we talked about a letter that had been signed by 17 governors saying that, you know, Republicans controlling Congress, they need to pass a farm bill sooner rather than later. It's just so important, and stop dithering. And the punchline, of course, was that all 17 of these governors are Republicans. Well, now there's a letter to Speaker Mike Johnson from 18 House members saying that prematurely peeling back these energy tax credits, which have, quote, created good jobs in many parts of the country, would undermine private investment. And yeah, you know the punchline. All 18 of these Republicans, or House members writing these letters, this letter, were Republicans, including Representative Lori Chavez DeRemer of Oregon, who is Donald Trump's pick to be the next Secretary of Labor. The letter, the phone call, is literally coming from inside the House, Melissa.
Exactly. These people,
they get investment. They understand investment, right? Which is what we thought, what a lot of people thought Donald Trump understood, you know, years ago when he was first on the scene, thinking, here's an investment guy, you know?
And then how many bankruptcies later did we understand, hey, maybe this guy actually doesn't understand investment very well?
Maybe it's just about enriching himself and power. Yes, exactly.
Exactly. You know, I will be curious to see how Ms. Chavez DeRemer, if her, you know, tune changes, you know, once she is officially in the cabinet. I hope not.
Right.
You know, so, you know, I think that's one of the challenges with somebody like Donald Trump is when people do get in his inner circle, there's not a lot of room to criticize him, hold him accountable, or have a differing viewpoint. So I hope that will be the case, that she will continue to advocate for this funding, for these jobs, for this investment, and be a voice that will support the IRA, support the CHIPS and Science Act, because that's something else that we know that Donald Trump has attacked repeatedly. While it's something that has been an incredible investment in manufacturing in the U.S.
And by the way, another example where when Speaker Mike Johnson talked about Republicans maybe trying to repeal the CHIPS and Science Act, again, other Republicans immediately jumped in to say they support the investments, and Johnson later walked back his statement. So it's funny that they're looking for these, you know, they're looking for these bridges to nowhere, to bring back an old budget metaphor here, and look for things that would qualify for, you know, for Bill Proxmire's old Golden Fleece Awards. And instead, what you're finding in here are all of these investments that are good for states, good for the local communities where they're in, and that they, again, embrace green energy, renewable energy sources, and they want so badly to shoehorn their arguments into the whole climate change is a hoax thing, but it's not working because the numbers and the benefits have been so readily apparent.
Yeah, that is absolutely true. And I do want to take one quick minute though and circle back though just on the CHIPS and Science Act, because you mentioned the question to Speaker Johnson, and I want to just circle back on that because I think it is so important to talk about how we get to some of these conversations, and the reason we get to some of these conversations is based on the questions that are asked of the people in power. And we're not seeing the right questions asked often enough. And I just really wanted to shout out that it was a student journalist who actually asked that question to Speaker Johnson. We weren't seeing very many journalists ask important questions like this. And a student journalist who knew that the CHIPS and Science Act was important to his community asked that question because he was concerned about the future of the legislation. Because in Syracuse, the student from Syracuse University knew that the legislation was responsible for a $100 billion complex in Syracuse at the Micron company. So this is why I wanted to just bring this up, because we are going to need journalists to hold these people accountable for what their policies are going to be throughout this administration. And if we don't have the people asking the questions, we're not going to ever have those conversations. So I just wanted to shout that out really quickly before we moved on from that conversation.
Because it takes us to our last point, and that is, you know, where do we all go from here? And we spoke last time around about how the move for climate leadership is going to move to the state level and the local level and to the private level as well. But before the Biden administration is done, and there's still over a month left, there are things that can be done as well. There's a group called Evergreen Action that has put together a list calling on the Biden administration to reject 5 remaining liquefied natural gas projects, swiftly appoint as many fair judges as possible before Trump comes into office, finalize some remaining key regulations where the risk of congressional repeal is low, and a host of other things that can yet be done. So between, you know, journalism that is, is much sharper in asking its questions, and leadership at the state local level, and things the Biden administration can still do, it's just a way to close on a note that says all is not lost. There are still plenty of people that understand the importance of moving forward on a cleaner, greener economy. And, you know, when you and I move forward, it'll be to highlight some of those efforts that are getting underway.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, as much as there's a lot to be concerned about, there's a lot to be nervous about, there's a lot to be scared about, because there are, you know, vulnerable communities at risk, there's progress at risk. But there's also, you know, there's a lot to be encouraged about. There's a lot that we can do together. There's a lot of work that's already been done. And I think that, I'll just say, you know, I think that, you know, you talked about Evergreen Action, and I think they summed it up really well in a blog post here. You know, they said the climate injustice movement is stronger than a Trump presidency. And I think that is so incredibly true. I think that the work that we've seen so many different organizations do together, so many different advocates and communities come together to, you know, really build power, to make progress, to highlight, economic justice, environmental justice, and how those intersect. This is not the first time, we've experienced bumps in the road, and it's not gonna be the last time. But, you know, we are gonna be a strong coalition, and we are going to be able to make progress. And I really believe that they summed that up well, that this movement and the people behind it are so much stronger than any presidency, but especially Donald Trump's.
Elections are so often about the candidates themselves and each individual race, and not about the values that we all hold at large. Despite who wins these elections, most Americans still want, you know, gun safety. Most Americans still want reproductive health care rights. And most Americans still understand the dire nature the climate is in and want to make advances in greener energy sources. And so the work just goes on at a different level. And it's one that we'll continue to follow every week at this segment with our friend Melissa Baldoff. Melissa, thank you so much. Good to talk to you. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, you too.
We'll do today's history lesson coming up next on Up North News Radio from Chippewa Falls on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Do you know or work with kids who have special health care needs? Help them live their best lives. Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/WISCWAY. Connect today. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
It was time to make our own Christmas traditions. For years, we've been trekking to both sets of in-laws, both Christmas dinners. It was just too much. So this year, we started to look for a place to get together in Alexandria, Minnesota. Christmas lights that will light up our kids' faces. A new adventure. Create some wonder. It makes us wonder, why didn't we do this sooner?
Start planning your time together in the Lakes area. Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. As Democrats pick up the pieces from their loss to Donald Trump, one of the first major decisions the party will be making is to select the new chair of the Democratic National Committee. The race for that role now has a major Wisconsin connection. Ben Wickler, the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, is now officially running for DNC chair. One Democratic source I talked to characterized Wickler as a Goldilocks candidate for the role. He's liked by both centrists and progressives, big dollar donors and grassroots organizers, and knows how important state parties around the country can be in a second Trump term. So, could he be just right for the role? The vote for DNC chair is scheduled for February 1st. A lot can happen between now and then. But whether or not Wickler wins in his bid for the role, it will certainly be a story to watch for Democratic politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
All right, let's go to church. From the book of Ecclesiastes, this number one song from the Byrds, written by Pete Seeger, was the number one song this day in 1965. We are joined on this Wednesday, as we are most Wednesdays for our history lesson, by Melissa Kay from 97.5 WFHR and 105.5 WIRI. And, God, her title just gets longer all the time. And Community Stories with Melissa Kay, which you can hear Tuesdays and Thursdays at 5 on 97.5 WFHR. Melissa Kay, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. That was quite the introduction. Thank you.
Wait, there's more. To learn more about Community Stories with Melissa Kay, go to civicmedia.us/show/community-stories-with-melissa-kay. To learn more.
Melissa Kay, first of her house, the Scarfed Queen.
Yes, Greg is appreciating that scarf, or some would say sleeping bag. It's a very large scarf. It's probably got, does it have an official title when a scarf is that big?
Cozy. It's an infinity scarf.
An infinity scarf. That makes sense.
We'll talk about Marvel movies now. Great. Okay, so I really love Captain America Winter Soldier. Sorry.
Which probably could have used a scarf. How are you otherwise? How's Community Stories and everything else in Rapids?
Lovely. We are. We had a story yesterday from Sean Plant, our post commander of VFW 2534. I'm really enjoying this veteran series and looking forward. I need to start making
interview appointments with our first responders, because that will be the next series.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Love these highlights.
Yeah.
So glad you're doing this. Let's get back to the history lesson. The number one song this day in 1954 was by the Cordettes. Number one songs hit differently back then.
Yeah.
70 years ago today.
Oh, God. Oh. Every time I hear the Cordettes, I can only think of that thing you do where he's like, the Cordettes, like chords in our music, Cordettes.
So there was our number one song 70 years ago today. On this day in 1991, Pan Am ceased operations. Pan American World Airways had run for 64 years and went out of business and got swallowed up, and now there's only three actual legacy airlines left out there, which is just kind of crazy. But
keep shutting down too. Didn't another one just go under?
It never seems to end. No.
And Pan Am used to be like the one, right? Like they.
Oh yeah, yeah. They were the deal. You know, when you were flying Pan Am, it was big stuff. Born this day in 1951, Gary Rossington. He was a founding member of Lynyrd Skynyrd. Passed away last year in March of 2023. He had been the longest surviving founding member of the band.
Man, if you are in a cover band in Milwaukee like I used to be back in my youth, when you start this song, it's like, oh, now you care about us. Great.
Right? The riff, the little guitar riff you hear at the beginning, that was Gary Rossington.
Yep.
And then Ronnie Van Zant added the lyrics later on. Dennis Wilson, Beach Boys drummer, was born this day in 1944, died way too early at the age of 39 back in 1983. He was the only actual surfer in the group, not Brian Wilson, not Carl Wilson. Bodine's bassist, Bob Griffin, born in Waukesha 65 years ago today. Happy birthday to him. On this day in 1988, Roy Orbison performed what would turn out to be his final concert, playing in Cleveland. Oh. 2 days later, he had a fatal heart attack at the age of 52. Which hits a lot differently now when you're above the age of 52 than it did beforehand. Dion Ferris, the singer, is 55 years old today. There's your hit I Know from the 1990s. Fred Armisen is 58 today. Actor Jeff Bridges, the dude, is 75 years old today. Ooh. The dude from The Big Lebowski. Melissa, I don't know that Greg and I are really fans of that movie. How about you, Big Lebowski?
I've never seen it.
Okay. All right.
You're missing nothing.
Thanks. Although, isn't Daryl Hannah in it?
I don't remember. Like I said, it didn't make a big impression on us, clearly. Sean Corey Carter is 55 years old today. You know him better as Jay-Z.
He's very good at saying, yeah.
He does. There's actually some lyrics in there that I could have done a better job queuing up. But Jay-Z is 55 today. Tyra Banks is 51. And on this day in 1971, the Montreux Casino in Switzerland burned to the ground during a gig by Frank Zappa. Deep Purple was also there and wrote this song about it.
And 1,000 guitar players were born.
So, guitar riff notwithstanding, the lyrics are actually about the Montreux Casino burning down this day in 1971.
I never knew that.
Yeah. Melissa, you're going to love this. Today is Extraordinary Work Team Recognition Day. So, if you have an extraordinary work team, this is the day to recognize them. Now,
I think we do.
I imagine there's separate days for Mediocre Work Team Recognition Day or Happy Underachieving Work Team Recognition Day. But if yours is extraordinary, This is it. Global Fat Bike Day, World Wildlife Conservation Day, National Dice Day, National Socks Day, National Brown Shoes Day.
National Dice Day?
Yeah.
I'm more confused by the brown shoes.
I know. Why would they don't necessarily need a day either.
That's kind of like, what about black shoes?
Did you?
I have red shoes.
You can hear much more of this from Melissa talking about shoes on Community Stories Tuesdays and Thursdays, 5 p.m. on 97.5 WFHR. Catch her on 105.5 WIRI as well. Thank you, Melissa.
And on Thursdays, there's episodes of Kevin the Cat.
Okay, Kevin the Cat, too.
We're
digging into that one next week. Okay. Thanks, Melissa.
Yep.
A new choice, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation, 540 WAUK.
Jane, Matt, Nair, and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, will prices of things we eat be going up? We talk to Darren Von Ruden coming up tomorrow at 11:06. We'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matt and Nair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Todd Alba Show.
Peter Rapine, the managing editor of E-Bombs World.
Another dumb paid millions for a duct-taped banana. You don't get to take home the banana. You're just taking the concept of it.
They sold this for $6.2 million. The guy bought a banana for 35 cents and took a thing of duct tape and put it on a white wall.
It's art, baby.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.